Okay. Okay. Ooh, I think I got that sound from you. Mmm. I never used to do that.
Uh-huh.
You've had an influence. Audio influence. You're an influencer.
Don't say that.
Oh, you don't want to be an
influencer. That's the last thing I want.
Right. Yeah. Do you have an image of some TikTok-y type person?
I'm genuinely impressed that you know what TikTok is.
Well, I know that it exists. I barely looked at it.
Okay.
Barely.
Barely.
But I mean, okay, so we know for a fact that you have a podcast. I know this.
Don't tell people that.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, listeners.
I'm joking, yeah.
Mom has a podcast.
Yeah, this is an open secret.
And so, but you, in an audio sort of way, you just sort of shuddered at the thought of being an influencer.
Yes.
Episode 17, Appreciate the Crumple. In this episode, your hosts, Steve and Mal, hurtle from point A to point B while searching for their brand in, of all things, a crumpled ball of tinfoil. Never mind uncrumpling, strap in for the ride to Redacted. Listeners, please be advised that there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Okay, and please feel free, if you like.
Influencer is like a brand of social capital.
Your mouth is not working.
It's not working.
Okay.
It's a brand of...
Take two.
It's a brand of social capital that corporate... brands can capitalize on by asking them to, like, by sponsoring them to sell products.
Really?
Basically, yeah.
So can you not have, like, your...
You can be a lifestyle influencer, but it often comes with a bunch of, like, bullshit of, like, you know, this is my travel Instagram where I, like, take pictures of myself in these exotic places. And, like, I was feeling a little stressed, so I flew myself to the Bahamas for the weekend or whatever. And it's just, like, who are you influencing? Because it's not people like me, because I can't fucking afford to do that. I would love, when I was a little stressed, to just fly to some fucking island. That would be great. But, like, the idea of an influencer... selling you something, like, what they're selling you is a lifestyle, but they're like, try this, like, diet tea,
hand cream.
Or like, yeah,
hand face cream,
makeup, like, whatever. People have their, like, brand,
right?
They, like, post makeup tutorials, or they post travel things, or they post food or whatever, and, like, whatever it is, if they get popular enough, then that's just, like, eyes on their page. You can get people, like, really invested in them as a person, and then if they can promote products, especially if they can make you believe, like, that they really love this product, like, genuinely, like, the genuineness of an influencer is a big part of their, like, social capital.
Also suspect, as you're describing it.
Yes, correct, because it's all fake.
Yeah, they're like...
You don't know that person.
They have a motive to love, you know,
yeah,
whatever. So, everything you're describing about influencers, we're not that, right?
No.
I don't feel, like, what... But the fun thought that gives me is, like, what would our... What product...
Well, first you have to...
we flog on the ride to Redacted.
Before the products... comes, like, you need a brand. You need a personal brand. And I think in having a podcast with the theme being we're in search of a theme,
yeah,
is really not a great platform on which to build social...
It's not standard. But I think that just makes the challenge all the more heavy.
It just sounds like we're two fucking philosophy majors in a car or whatever,
which we essentially are. I mean,
except for the fact that neither of us actually majored in philosophy.
I considered, there was a brief period, listeners.
Yeah.
This is confession time. There was a brief moment where I considered, like, not only should I be, but am I?
Very meta.
Yeah.
Well, I had a philosophy professor ask me if I was a philosophy major once.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
whoa.
No. I was like, no, and furthermore, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in your class. Not that I didn't want to be there, because it was like an aesthetic philosophy class, and I was an art major, and I was like, hell yeah, this is my absolute shit.
Yeah.
No, not even. I think I was the only art major in that class.
Yourself, you had
I was really interested in it, because I was like, we're talking about the same things in my art class, but from a completely different perspective, because all of these philosophers talking about aesthetic philosophy are not artists, and they're talking about art and the art object, and where the art exists in this sort of abstract sense as a viewer of art. And meanwhile, I'm over here, like, finger painting, being like, you know, the art is whatever you make of it, baby.
Finger painting in class.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm still getting a handle on what it is we do.
Okay. What do we do here, actually? I don't know.
Help me with this. Yeah.
It may take 3 or 4 more seasons for us to get a handle on it. But,
When
we talked about cults, influencership and cults, I feel like they're kind of kissing cousins, especially a cult of personality.
Okay.
Where you have one person who's like very charismatic and just cons people into doing whatever they say and being utterly devoted to them. And like, you know, selling all their worldly possessions, you know, because this person is the second coming or whatever.
Right.
Like, because they told you that. And that's a lie, obviously.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes, L. Ron Hubbard. So you have cult of personality, and for that you need a lot of people who are kind of aimless or dissatisfied with their lives. And most people don't think of themselves that way, and so they don't think they're susceptible to cults. And this is something that we already talked about. But then there might be one thing where they're like, oh, I really want to get better at makeup, or I want to get, and this is making it sound very insidious, but I'm only saying it has the potential to be very insidious. Like, it could go there, but, you know, I don't think every influencer is like trying to con people. But I think a lot of them do con people, either intentionally or unintentionally, because they're selling them a lifestyle. And in order to sell somebody a lifestyle that relies on you having a lot of money and free time, you gotta, like, they're never gonna fucking get there if they don't also have a lot of money and free time, you know? Like, you're selling them a pipe dream.
Right. So, there's a lot. Obviously, we haven't been recording for a while.
So, okay, here's a question that I ask people sometimes.
Okay.
And it's, like, I have a lot of icebreaker questions that I ask people a lot. Not just to break the ice. Sometimes I need them. Sometimes it's a ripcord. But, like, but because they're, like, conversation starters.
Did you say ripcord?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, fine.
You know, like a parachute.
Yeah, okay. You need a question in order to, like, either reset or escape a difficult situation.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, anyway.
To save your life if your date is, like, absolutely failing.
Anyway. Okay. Interesting.
But I also just asked them to everybody because I think the answers are very telling.
And they're good questions.
They're good questions.
And we'll leave it there.
And yeah, and that's all I wanted to say about that. But so this one is like, it's technically one of those questions, but I don't ask it often because it is a question that not everybody has like an answer to. But I will ask people who are like artists and writers, and people who consume a lot of art, and like to surround themselves with like things that they love and whatever, which you would think would be everybody. Not so. Some people don't give a fuck. Anyway.
Certainly, like, a lot of people you would talk to.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes you're on the dating apps and you don't realize. Anyway.
Right. The CPA effect.
Certified public accountant.
Exactly. Okay. Sorry. That's the second time we've dumped on...
CPAs. CPAs are providing
Christopher? Sorry.
No, he's not a CPA anymore, apparently. He's gone private.
Do you ever, like...
Do you ever hang up the old calculator? Anyway, can one ever stop being CPA?
Okay, all right. Oof.
Okay.
Anyway, the question. Questions.
Yes, so what... what symbols, motifs, like, do you see recurring in the things that you write, the things that you create, the things that you are drawn to artistically? Like, I'm talking, you know, symbols visually, but also more generally what themes. I wanna approach this like two philosophy majors in a car and figure out what our influencer brand would be.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Fair enough. This is obviously the influencer.
Yes.
Although maybe not.
Yes.
Not episode.
Right.
The uninfluencer.
You, the listeners, must decide.
You, the listeners, are the influencer.
Tell us.
This is not the way it's supposed to work.
Tell us if you liked this episode by buying this tube of freeze-dried ice cream. With our promo code RTR. 25.
RTR CPA.
CPA FBI 25.
We do have legitimate one item of merch, which is the...
Is it available for sale?
Not yet, but okay. It could be made so.
Okay.
I think
the first step to sales is making your item that you've designed available for sale.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Are you talking about the mug?
I'm talking about the mug.
Okay. Should we reveal that we both have...
Yeah.
This is perhaps the most self-indulgent.
I think I put in a picture of the mug at some point.
It's a really beautiful mug that...
It's in some show
my
notes.
My mother
put the
logo on.
You essentially designed it. But
she put the... It's a MetaQuest.
Yeah.
Meta
yeah, she did a bang-up job.
Yeah. Looks
our,
great.
Our production team.
Yeah, our production team was slaving day and night.
Yeah.
Shout out. Adobe Illustrator.
Taking time out only occasionally to make comments on our...
Yes, Dragon Mom.
Podcast.
Love you.
Right.
Dragon Mom 54?
Something like that. Okay. So, yeah. So the question you've asked, I don't immediately come up with a visual theme, but I do come up with and when I think of the writing...
Yeah.
I've done.
Well,
which,
I am more of a visual artist anyway.
Well, okay. I'm less of a visual artist, except for the videos, where I'm not aware of a visual theme because I'm not that good at that.
Okay.
I'm not wired. I don't know. Whatever. But thematically, if I think of the various essays and story, a theme that emerges... or that may be there, is a kind of cluelessness, but a kind of delight in discovering the cluelessness. In the moment of discovering that you're clueless and what you're clueless about, you become clued. So I'm just going to go with whatever that was.
That's actually a pretty good basis for an influencer thing, just because, I don't know, joie de vivre, that's really going to get you points in the genuineness.
It also
column.
Ties into our non-brand, which is MetaQuest, if ever there was one.
Yes, but that's not really a motif per se.
Motif. Give me an example of it. I'm so...
Okay.
Speaking of clueless.
Okay.
Get me
do
into
want,
motif
mode. Do you
want
to hear my answers
yeah,
to this?
Yeah, that would help.
So,
sure.
You've and, seen my
yes.
artwork. Obviously,
yes.
Teeth is one of them. But also, more generally, like, body stuff. Like, I do, like, those little nose pins, one of which you own. Like, tongues and, like, you know, eyes and stuff. And I definitely have a, like, I think fascination is the wrong word. I have a fondness for things like my little nose pins that are, like, kind of overlooked, but are, like, you know, like, why are they overlooked? Why are they not as cool as eyes or whatever? So quite literally, like, those, like, body part things, or, like, you know, birds, stars, like, whatever. They come back in my art a lot. When I started making a tarot deck, I wanted it to be very much about symbols that are, like, important to me. And so, like, there's a lot of, like, queer, trans, like, characters in it. Just, you know, they're not explicitly, like, from anything, you know, it's just a character that suits the card that I've made up for it. But then there's a lot of other things like stars and diamonds and like whatever that come back repeated over and over again in lots of different kinds of cards. Rabbits, birds, things like that. In my writing, the big theme that comes back no matter what I'm writing about, usually, as long as it's, like, a long-form thing, whatever, is, like, political reform. This has always been the case. I think it actually started for me when I started writing werewolf stuff, because you start writing about the dynamics of a group of people who have a set internal politics system, and, like, how people outside of that interact with that. And it got me interested in writing those kinds of dynamics. And so now, whatever I do, if it's a long-form thing, it'll eventually, on a long enough timeline, everything I write trends towards massive political reform.
Certainly, an unfortunately, an appropriate moment for one to think about that stuff. Cue the police siren. Yeah, okay. All right, so those are motifs. I feel like I'm supposed to be thinking about those things to answer your question. I don't know. I wonder if I have a motif.
What God. About on this podcast? What do you find yourself talking about a lot?
Geez. Well, I find myself sort of gravitating towards life hacks that I think predominantly come from you. And I'm happy to have them, but no, it's the quality of, like, what the fuck is going on? How does this, my earliest memory, I don't know if I've shared this with you, maybe I must have been like 2 or 3 years old, and my parents had something, you know, they were going out for the night, and there was a babysitter around somewhere, I assume. We were living in our four-family apartment in Teaneck, New Jersey, a four-family apartment building, and there was a door, like a wooden door with the door to the hallway, the apartment front door, and they had recently left, and I guess I was, like, feeling anxious and kind of missing them, and, like, where are they? So I went to the door where I knew they had departed from, and it was closed, and I looked up, small child, and I remember seeing the grain of the door, which was very pronounced, and it looked a little bit like a face, but not really, and it was kind of scary. And I just remember that, and I think back of that, there's an image, thematically, like, what is going on? Where are my parents? How does the world work? Why is the door scary looking? Does this relate to what we're talking about?
Maybe. This is before, I mean, you're the eldest,
yeah.
So before your siblings were born.
Yeah, I think it probably was. probably was. I mean, this all makes me sound like a very anxious and fearful and troubled person.
I don't think so.
And I'm not saying I'm not, but I feel like I'm happier than that, people. I'm not just a kid looking at a door and wondering, why is the universe so frightening?
But I think also having the ability to look around you and to be like, how the fuck does any of this work? Is, like, great. That's an incredible thing to be able to do because, like, nobody fucking knows. Like, some people might look at something. They might look at, I don't know, like, a water heater outside of a building, whatever, and they know how it works because they install them. But, like, that's a very specific example. Everybody just walking through the world looking around, somebody's got expertise in whatever it is that you happen to be looking at the time. But chances are you don't have expertise in, like, most of it. And so being able to, and not just concrete material, how does the world work kind of things, but, like, you know, more, like, broader, more metaphysical things, like, you know, economics or like politics or whatever the fuck,
right.
Like or smaller scale things like stress responses, you know, interpersonal relationships. Everybody's got, like, there is somebody with expertise in anything that you could care to wonder about. And, like, you know, the great thing about being curious about the world, or at the very least admitting that you don't know anything, is it opens you up to the possibility of asking questions and finding out. And I feel like I'm doing an intro for Radiolab, actually, because that's quite literally their brand. But we don't do any research. We don't have that kind of time.
Well, we do life research by, like, just going from point A to point B.
Yes.
That's our research.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's...
Zeros and ones.
Yeah. It's good to admit that you don't know anything. And it's okay that it's scary, too. And especially with kids being in, like, early childhood education and whatever, getting kids used to doing things that are hard for them. Like, not immediately rushing to, like, you know, make it easier for them, but also understanding that hard means something different for different kids. So, like, for example, I gave my kids some clay to use in class.
Today?
Today, yeah. And I did it for the first time last week. I gave them some clay, and I just gave them each a little tiny bit. And they're young. They're 7 years old. And so they're still very, very much working on their fine motor skills. And so some kids I gave more clay to because they were like, it's not enough. And I gave them more without questioning it because I knew that those kids had more struggles than other kids. Other kids, when they were like, it's not enough, I was like, I know it's hard. I want you to do your best with it, though, because it's okay to do hard things, you know? That's the thing that makes it easier over time.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't challenge you at least a little bit, then you're not gonna improve your fine motor skills. You're not gonna get better at it. And the kids who need more help, because the thing is more challenging for them than it is for other people, they're still being challenged. It's just on a different level, you know?
Mm. So as you're saying all this, it occurs to me that one thing I really, really enjoy, and this is not necessarily specifically about my writing or anything, is solving puzzles. It just, like, lights up the little endorphin thingies and mm-hmm. whatever.
You and Mom both.
Yeah, I just...
Especially her, I think.
I really enjoy that. Figuring a thing out.
Yeah.
You know, even sometimes for work, I mean, I definitely enjoy that. You know, what's painful is if the problem is, like, really difficult and you have to think hard and do a lot of mental work to solve it, that can be difficult and in a minor way sort of painful. It's arduous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice moment when you figure out, it's like, oh, wait a minute, what had been, like, a real hurdle or confusing or insurmountable, like maybe a little while ago, now that I've like sort of put my mind to it, I can kind of see a solution. That's like a good moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, as good as wearing a costume that you've worked really hard on is, the finished product, it's all about the journey, man. And I don't know, like I made these little wing prototypes, and one day I'll make the mask that those are for. But I made them so that you can pull a little cord and it opens up, the wing opens up. And I didn't look up any tutorials for this. I probably could have, and I would definitely not shit on anybody who does do that, who will like look up a tutorial and probably make a thing way better than what I made. But figuring it out was deeply satisfying to me. How to put pieces together, like make these pieces out of wire. I used like a galvanized steel wire to shape it and to fit them together, and then to use elastic, in my case a rubber band, and then a counter pressure to create what I then looked at afterwards and realized was a model of basically a human finger. Like, because it's got the, yeah.
I think I just, I took the wrong exit.
Oops.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do I solve this?
I don't know.
I need to go that way. All right. We'll figure it out.
Okay. It's all about the journey.
So like, the challenge we just happened on early in this ride, what would two philosophy major types, who are not really philosophy majors,
no,
what would they I've done a loop.
I can't
continue on the way I want. What I really want to be able to do is get back on that thing. I don't know if I have a choice. I don't think I can go right here. It says no right for trucks. I'm not a truck.
No, there's a thing that's
I'm not a truck.
Do you know who I am? Do I know?
Yeah, all right. This is okay.
Look at this little pink car that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
That's right. It's all about the journey.
It's all about the journey.
Man.
Do you need me to pull up a GPS, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Two philosophy majors. Lost.
Lost at sea.
Lost in a journey.
Lost and redacted.
Look at this. Look at this. It's going to work. This may... I'm so happy. Or maybe not, but...
I think it is. Yeah, I think this is right.
No, we don't want exit 5.
No, this is right. This is right.
Oh, we do want exit 5.
Yeah,
it was exit 4 we didn't want.
Yes, you took 4.
Oh, that was my... I did it. I broke through.
You engineered it. You engineered...
Just by...
Blind luck.
Brute...
Driving.
Fucking random luck, yes. Random lying. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, but... I'm happy about this. Okay. We provide solutions.
We provide solutions.
Well, I mean, that could be our brand. I know. What is a brand, anyway?
You have to...
Like a need. You have to make people feel that they need this.
But also, okay, so you're going to not like this.
That's all right.
It's a niche. You have to be like, we provide solutions. There's a specific... thing that we provide solutions for, slash, like, even beyond the, like, the selling, it's like there's a specific model of person that we represent. So, like, take, like, George Foreman or whatever. They make grills,
right?
And there's...
Thank you.
You think of it and you immediately picture the guy standing behind a George Foreman grill.
Right.
Right? That, it's representative. There's a person...
It's George Foreman, in fact.
Yeah, it's... Oh, my God, it's George Foreman. Holy shit, he's here in the flesh.
Right. A boxer, a former champion boxer.
Is he?
He was. I mean, he'd be well retired by now.
Right. Okay.
You did not know that?
So, like...
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It was, like, manly dude who can... Who knows his way around a, like, serious girl or whatever. Like, right. So that's the fantasy. That's the
So you're selling... You could... You, too, could become George Foreman with your grill.
Yes. So, like...
Kind of cool.
So we're back to who am I?
Who are we?
Who are we? And who are we as a unit? Which is way harder because 'cause definitely the way that we operate on this podcast is that we're conversationally compatible, philosophically compatible, but not the same.
Not or the same person.
We would...
In case yeah. you were wondering. So it's not like Ryan Reynolds talking to his fake twin brother, Gordon. Right.
Yeah, so if we... So if we were drift compatible, which is a reference you don't get,
no.
or if we were to be a fusion, which is another reference you don't get.
Correct. anytime you want to start using language I understand, feel free to break into that.
I think you can kind of get from context what I'm saying, though.
Okay.
If we were to fuse into one person, what traits would be magnified? What traits would be subsumed? What traits would... that are somewhat latent would emerge as a combination of, like, yours and mine.
Okay. What would our combined, like, fused person be? Well, is that necessary? You're saying you have to have, like, a one-person
no,
sort of identity
no.
vibe?
No, but in terms of what we're, like, what lifestyle we're selling?
I think just getting it together, figuring out how to get from point A to point B.
Okay.
If you're lost... helping you get yourself found.
Yeah.
Philosophically, spiritually. Okay, I can see where, like, so what kind of products would go? Compass.
GPS for sure.
GPS. That's it. That's it.
We provide solutions.
the magical life, your life GPS.
Yes.
Yeah, just...
A spiritual guru.
Yeah.
Take that, Gwyneth.
Yeah. It starts to sound a little cult-like, actually.
This is what I'm saying.
It's
when
hard
you,
to stay away.
When you have
yeah.
an influencer platform where you are selling the guise of genuineness and helpfulness and like, you know.
We will save your life. We'll make it way better.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, I'm your friend. I'm your friend in your pocket.
Yeah.
And we're friends. Like... It's like...
Well, I mean, we're kind of doing that, but not in that way.
Yeah, but nobody fucking listens to our shit.
So here we are.
Yeah.
And this would be the perfect time to wrap this all up into a neat, either ball or bow. Something starting with B.
Just crumple it up into a ball and toss it somewhere.
That sort of does away with the neat... aspect.
Well, neat and ball.
I guess if it was tin foil.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
Well, I think the crumpled ball of tin foil is the key to all of this. In some
way. Crumpled ball of tin foil model of the universe.
I think that's our product. But it's not just any crumpled ball of tin foil. It's understanding. It comes with a little book that explains the importance of crumpling.
Okay.
I don't feel we've nailed it yet. We only have like a block and a half.
I don't know if we're gonna nail it.
All right. It might just be a thing that you see like right at the end when you've given up.
That
lyrics came to me when I had forgotten them when I had a solo.
Right. It also could be the case that we've already got it and that it's fine.
Yeah.
And that the crumpled tinfoil model of the universe states that to begin is to end. And
maybe what it is, maybe we start out with, metaphorically, obviously, with in life with a crumpled ball of tinfoil.
Right.
And then we have to, do we have to uncrumple it?
Or, uncrumple?
Or do we?
No, I think the crumple, the crumpled up, no.
Yeah.
It's not your job to alter the fabric of the universe. It's merely your job to navigate it. And that is what we're selling, is being able to navigate.
So life. you don't have to feel compelled to uncrumple.
Yeah.
You hope to appreciate the crumple.
Yeah, appreciate the crumple. TheRightToReject.com 2025.
I think we have our episode. Oh, this guy's gonna. Can he get by?
Yeah, right. They'll be fine.
All right.
He has to do hard things. He has to learn to do hard things.
You're like the second grade teacher to the world.
Yeah.
It probably is a good life skill, very transferable to like everybody.
Correct.
Okay.
Most people are right on that fucking level. So. You would be shocked how many people really, really did not learn those skills early enough in their life and are pushing 50 or so and blowing up at cashiers and whatever. And you're like, hey, friend, catch a bubble. It is not your turn to talk.
They're still trying to uncrumple that tinfoil ball.
Yeah, and they're going to hurt themselves.
Wow. Whoa. All right, I think we have to end it there.
All right. Okay. Handshake? Okay. A pleasure doing business with you.
Okay, I'm
love you.
I love you too.
I'm safe.
I'm you too. I'm going to turn this off. Uncrumple it?
Uncrumple?